Today's episode of the Axe29 Canada podcast is brought to you by Digital Indoorsman, the go-to solution for small business owners looking to establish credibility for their business. By choosing Digital Indoorsman, you're not only elevating your business, but you're also directly contributing to the mission of reaching Canada for Jesus. It's simple, affordable, and impactful. Check out digitalindoorsman.com to find out how you can make a difference for your business and support church planters. Digital Indoorsman. You're out there working hard. Let them handle the digital stuff.
Hey, I want to welcome you to the Axe29 podcast. My name is Dwight.
And I'm Jordan.
And we are the hosts of this podcast. So welcome.
Glad to have you.
All right, well, welcome to the Axe29 Canada podcast. Truly, this is a surprise to my two co-hosts today. They don't know what I'm going to talk about. And so this is really, really good. So I'm here with Clay and Jordan. Welcome, guys.
Yeah, nice to be here again.
Thanks, Dwight. So excited to be here. You have no idea. Ready to jump out of my skin. So pumped.
I'm pumped as well. My Wi-Fi might cut out. And if it does, then you guys will have to run the surprise show all by yourselves. So it's going to be joyful. But Clay doesn't have a home currently. Right. He's in between homes. So he's in a children's bedroom during this episode.
Also his children's bedroom.
Not some random child's bedroom.
Hey kid, I need to record a podcast.
From the pack and play. Oh, that's good.
That is good.
Yeah. Okay, wonderful. So glad you guys are here. So what I would like to do is do a shorter episode today. That'd be really great. This would have been good to talk about beforehand, but we're not. So we're just working out the stuff as we go along. Do a shorter episode, but I do want to focus it on what church planters need to think about when they're going to be planting a church, because we have a great case in point on this episode. Jordan is now planting a church. We're commissioning you. You didn't know.
Not news
this
to me.
Is right on. This is what Acts 13 actually was. Clay. Clay's moving. He has a home because he has another home in heaven. But before that home, he's going to another home in Edmonton and going to be planting there. Grace Edmonton is going to be the name of that church. So if you live in Edmonton, you probably don't listen to this. But if you do live in Edmonton and you do listen to this, then and there'd be no reason for you not to listen to it. But if you live in Edmonton, you'd love to be part of a church plant. Clay's will be great. Be all about Jesus. So,
or if you don't live in Edmonton, but the Spirit is speaking to you right now and saying, you know what?
Move.
I need to move to Edmonton and go be a part of that.
Nice. That. What if the Spirit said that to you right now, Jordan?
Maybe. You know what? I don't know. We'll see how the rest of this surprise episode goes. It might be a
probably
surprise
use
for a lot of people.
Hey, yeah. Listen.
I'd be in. You know that. But we just finished preaching Acts 18, Aquila and Priscilla, right? Chased out of Rome, ended up in Corinth. Then went to Ephesus, then went back to Rome, then went to Ephesus again. Just mobile. Maybe that's where we start. Church planters need to be willing to be mobile.
That's good. I do have a serious question, though. When Philip is preaching and all of a sudden he ends up in Azotus, what type of a portal do you think that
Azotus? Azotus?
If I say it first, I'm right. So
is that the rule?
Just leave it alone. Yeah. Someone told me if you say it fast and confident, it's correct. So,
yeah.
So how do you think that happened? I think Marvel's just catching up to the New Testament.
Yeah, a great question. I don't know. Oh, I'm pumped to talk with him about that.
Thinking like Doctor Strange action.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Anyway, but yeah. So
it wasn't a serious question.
It really was actually. Those are the things I stop and think about at 5:50 in the morning. I'm like, what is that like?
after he baptized the Ethiopian eunuch and just, you know, he comes out of the water and then Philip is just gone. Just like he just found himself in Azotus. Oh, thanks. Thanks, Luke. Thanks
I think that detail. I think you pronounce it differently the second time you said that word. So.
Azotus?
Yeah.
Azotus?
I don't know.
As it is, guys.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, let's be serious. So church planters. So church planters need to be mobile. But Clay, like, what are the things that you're having to think about right now? You're moving your family, getting a job, all that stuff. That's really important. I don't want to minimize that. But as you're thinking about planting the church, what are the questions that are going on in your mind?
Yeah, a lot of the questions have been, how are we going to find people? How are we going to meet people? Who is God going to send our way? a lot of that comes back to, I know we've talked on previous episodes about the necessity of prayer. And so we've been praying like crazy for people of peace, just being able to meet people that God has predetermined for us to have connections with and to get to know. One of the ways, we moved all of our stuff to Edmonton last week, and now we're back in Saskatoon. But while we were in Edmonton, I had a few guys come over to give quotes for putting in air conditioning units. And one of the guys just so happened to be a neighbor. He lives like a block down. And so already just being able to start to get to know him a little bit and develop that relationship, we're going to hire him mostly because he's going to be a neighbor and this is an opportunity to get to know him better. And he's like, if anything ever happens to the AC unit, just, you know, come to our house, knock on my door. I'll be right there, which is pretty sweet service. But also then it's that opportunity to say, hey, you know, thanks for installing your AC. Why don't you come over for supper? And, you know, just starting to build those relationships. And then Jared and Chantel, who are moving with us to Edmonton to plant, they're going to use the same guy. So now all of a sudden, two couples are starting a relationship with the AC unit install guy. And that's an opportunity just to get to know people and continuing to pray for ways to develop relationships, get to know people. And most of that's going to happen, I think, in the everyday ordinary stuff of life. But it's presenting yourself available to the Spirit to use and allowing him to give you opportunities to get to know people and figure out who is God calling to himself first and foremost, and then how are we to be involved in that?
That's really good. So let me ask around. Now, let me preface this by saying that no one is a time waster. You know, it's kind of like saying there's no dumb question, right? But there are some people that the Lord brings along into our life that will talk for hours and hours and hours about nothing. And we love them and we will spend time with them and we will do that stuff, but we only have so much time. And you're called to go and bring the good news of Jesus to a specific place, to a specific people. So how do you begin to differentiate, you know, like, great, you know, AC guy, that's amazing, could work out, might not, but there's like a million, I don't know, how big is Edmonton? How many people are there?
1.5 mil.
Spoken like a true Edmontonite.
Edmontonian.
Edmontonian. I don't know. So 1.5 million, that's a lot of people. It's a lot of opportunity. So how do you differentiate between, man, this relationship maybe could go somewhere at some point. How do you differentiate between, you know, those who are wasting time and those who are ready for the gospel? And because we want to spend more time with those who are ready for the gospel as soon as possible. So how do you do that? Mm. How are you going to do it?
Yeah, I think a lot of that has to depend on, again, I feel like I need to go back to praying and leaning in on the Spirit. And I think he will give us an idea of who we should be spending time with and when and how. There are times where it feels like certain people are a lost cause, but if the Spirit is moving and telling you, no, you should still keep pouring into this person, even though it feels like a waste of time, at the end of the day, it's never really a true waste of time because we're constantly moving people forward on the path. And what might feel like a useless endeavor could end up being the very thing that allows people to see, you know what? God's a patient God, because look how Clay or Dwight or Jordan was patient with me when I just continually was like a drag on them. And yet God continued to pursue me through them. So there's times that happens, but then there's also, you know, you don't throw your pearls before swine, where it feels like, I'm not feeling like the Spirit is urging me to continue on in this relationship. And every time, you know, we try to move forward with something, it's just met with roadblocks or it just doesn't go anywhere. So I think there's the both. Sometimes the Spirit will tell us, no, continue to pursue them. And sometimes the Spirit allows us to pull back and put our efforts elsewhere. In a similar way, if you have multiple relationships going on with different people, you're trying to bring them closer to Jesus, encourage them in the gospel, and there's more fruit on one rather than the other, then it makes more sense to be able to focus on the one that's bearing more fruit, that's not giving us personally benefit, but we can see the gospel is giving them benefit. And there's something in what Jesus has done that is sparking something in their spirit to go, okay, there's something here. And I think we need to be attentive. We need to be alert. We need to be thinking through, how is my approach in all of this? And is my approach for my purpose or for theirs? Because sometimes as church planters, I think we want to just get the job done. We want to build the church. We want to see success. And we'll usually measure success by, you know, baptisms, which is good. But also it's a metric that might not be what the Holy Spirit's calling us to in that moment. Or butts in seats, or we measure these things, which can be good things to measure, but we sometimes put our own value on those measurements. And we think that our success is dependent on whether we achieve a metric, rather than is our success in following what the Holy Spirit is calling us to and being faithful to present Christ and be a godly witness and an ambassador for Christ. But as we do that, we'll often find those numeric successes as well, but they're not always perfectly correlating.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where we do need to listen to what the Spirit's calling us to do and obey Him, mm-hmm. and then be faithful to what He's calling us to. So
yeah,
I feel like that's a bit of a cop-out answer. It's like, well, I don't know, just do what the Spirit leads. But at the same time, we want to be sensitive to Him and actually truly have that relationship with God first and foremost, and then He's going to pour into us, and he'll put us in that direction of who He wants us to pursue and not pursue. But it's going to be a struggle. Like, God doesn't make things easy for that, where it's like, I think if we're not wrestling with, should I spend time with this guy or not? And it's always just like, nah, there's nothing happening here, we throw them off. Then maybe we're not actually listening to the Spirit or wrestling with Him and asking Him, like, what do you want me to do with this? And I think the more we invest in God and invest our lives and our hopes in Him, the more we can understand what He's saying and what He's calling us to.
Yeah, that's good. And, you know, there's a book called I Once Was Lost, is the name of the book. And I recommend it often to church planters. Have you read that book?
Nope.
I Once Was Lost. Okay. So super helpful, because it categorizes people. And it's always nice to categorize people, right? People feel really loved when they're put inside of a category. But it is actually super helpful, because it helps us to minister to people well. So the first thing that people have to overcome is, well, I don't trust a Christian. So it's like, you can share the gospel with them, you can, like, you know, have them do your AC unit, like, you can break it on purpose so they keep coming back. But if they don't trust a Christian, they're not ready to move toward that next. I think it's called the threshold. Like, what's the threshold that they have to make it through or make it past? You know, all the way to, like, they're willing. So I think that's more of where the question is coming from. Like, how do you appropriately spend time with people who are saying, listen, I've been hurt by the church, or, like, I think the church is super weird and irrelevant, or, like, I didn't know that they did church still. A plumber told me that one time in Montreal. You guys still do that? So I guess trying to figure out how we take people from not trusting Christians to, you know, being willing to actually engage with the beauty, yep, and goodness and message of the gospel is the trajectory that you have to figure out. How do you appropriately use your time? Because, man, mm-hmm. humanly speaking, I want to line up most of my time with the people who are closest to becoming followers of Jesus, and keep inviting those people along that don't yet trust or know, like, come to my house, come hang out, let's play basketball, let's go running, let's whatever. Like, you're always invited. But the moment that it's like, well, huh, I've been thinking about this. What do you think about this? Well, I want to pay attention to that, because now they're inviting me into something in a new way. So that it's a great resource. I'll just throw that out there. I think for your church plant, I took our small group through that recently, and super helpful for them in terms of thinking through their friends and how to appropriately minister. Because sometimes we get so frustrated with people, like, why don't you believe? And it's like, well, I don't even like you. How am I, like, I don't know. I don't want to hang out with you. Like, oh, okay. I guess that's an issue too. So
Another good book on even just those kind of relationships, Rosaria Butterfield's book, The Gospel Comes with a House Key.
Mm-hmm.
Just speaking about hospitality and how inviting people into our lives and our homes is something that, especially where we are in Western Canada, it's probably similar in the East where you guys are. And by the East, I just mean Ontario and Quebec, even though that's, you guys have more East over there. But
yeah, we feel the East.
Yeah, where we are, hospitality is not super normal.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't invite other people into their homes. It's just not a normal thing. Everyone's very individualized. And so living a life that says, hey, why don't you come over and hang out, is weird.
Mm.
But I think it's a good weird. And I think there's the deep longing inside of all of us for community, for acceptance, for invitation, that as Christians, as we understand that we've been invited by Jesus into his kingdom, not by our merit, not by what we've done, but because he is a loving, hospitable God, that we reflect who he is to others in a way that, because of us being made in the image of God, we desire that. And I think as we live that out, that really shows a picture of what God is like to those around us. And it can break down some of those barriers, break down some of those things. It's like, they're weird, but weird in a good way. Mm-hmm. And weird in a way that's, it's unlike anything else. You could almost say holy or separate, right?
Yeah.
So much of the time that I've spent specifically with my neighbors over the last little bit has just been, you know, me helping them to see that, oh, actually, you know, sure. And I see, I get what you're saying, absolutely. But we're not like, you know, crazy, psycho, weird, right? And some of the preconceived notions that they have about what Christianity looks like are oftentimes just flat out wrong or misguided in some cases, right? And that, you know, it's just looking for opportunities to be able to bring into the gospel into those regular everyday relationships. Mm-hmm. That, you know, I'm not necessarily going out of my way to beat people over the head with the Bible, but I'm looking for opportunities to be able to insert little, you know, you're putting out the, you know, putting out the fleece, so to speak, in the relationships that you have, to see, oh, are they going to take this up, right? Like how is this going to go? I'm sorry to hear about that thing that's going on in your family. I'm praying for you in that, right? Mm-hmm. And is that going to open up the door for a later conversation, or at the very least, give them the reality that, oh, they, you know, the entirety of my life is centered around the existence of an all-powerful sovereign God who sent his son into this earth to die a death that I deserve so that I can be forgiven, freed, welcomed into his family, and have the promise of life with him forever. So, it, you know, it's giving those opportunities, right? It's and I think even, I love the intentionality around the air conditioning guy thing, and we'll be praying for him. How awesome would it be for that guy to come be a part of the church and listen back to this podcast a few months or years later? That'd be yeah. Outstanding. But yeah, man, I love that. I love that intentionality too.
And the praying for people, I would encourage you guys and whoever's listening, like, pray for people on the spot.
Mm, that was Dwight, I think I've talked about this on the podcast. I got that from you, and my oldest daughter and I still talk about when you were here and prayed with her specifically, but my wife being sick. And
yeah,
and it's, man, it's so true. And it takes people aback, but 9 times out of 10, I found that people are actually really receptive to be prayed for right then and there.
Mm-hmm. I've never had anyone say no.
Right.
Never.
Right. If not for just like standard social decorum to be like, oh, well, saying no would be really weird. And I guess prayer is kind of a good thing, so might as well. Right. But
yeah,
totally. It's an awesome.
I did have one coworker say no.
Wow.
You did, eh?
Yeah. He used to be a Christian. Now he's a atheist apologist. So
nice.
If they say no, you're just supposed to pray really loudly in tongues.
Well, Clay, I've got another question, man. Yeah. And you know, you guys are in the midst of this. I'd love to hear how you and your wife are intentionally involving your kids in the work of church planting. I mean, obviously, the you know, reality of their lives has been upset a little bit. You guys are staying in a small house now. Talk a little bit about how you guys are intentional about that.
Yeah. Since the very beginning of this journey of planting another church, we've brought the whole family along.
Mm.
When we first were discerning, is this what we're supposed to do? We invited the kids into it. And we essentially gave them veto power at the beginning and said, if God is in this, he's going to convince all of us that this is what we should do. And so we set aside a few days and said, let's just pray about this and see where God's leading. And then we'll come back and we'll talk and we'll see is everyone feeling like this is where we're supposed to be? Here's the situation. Here's the idea. Here's where I'm feeling led. And we got together again after a few days of prayer and just thinking, and we talked about it as a family because we realized this is not a Clay thing. This is not a Clay and Kim thing. This is our Bittner household thing where we are all moving and we all have things we have to sacrifice and give up, relationships, school, friends, work. And a lot of things we've all had to process of the different things we've had to grieve the losses of. Mm. Like we're leaving a place where our church family adores us and we adore them. And having to leave that is painful. And it's more painful the more you think about it. And so there's a part of me that wants to just shut that off and, you know, go straight ahead. But in realizing I can't just do that because I have to shepherd my family. And like our youngest son, Felix, a couple days before we left, all of a sudden he was like, I'm scared to move. I'm scared because this is the only house I've ever known. All my friends are here. This is going to be really hard. And so we just gathered the whole family together. This was like right before bed on the night before we were moving out everything. And so we got everyone together and just like, let's pray. Let's just thank Jesus for what we've had here. Let's spend some time grieving and just reminding everyone it's okay to cry. Mm. It's okay to mourn the loss of what we're leaving here because it has been really good and it's been fruitful and we've been able to see Jesus work in so many ways. Even the kids who have come to faith in the house we just left, just the joy of realizing like Jesus has done real work in there in our family, but then also the people we know that have come to faith because of conversations we've had in our house. And like just involving the whole family as much as possible in reminding them this call to a missionary life in a new city is for all of us. Mm-hmm. And whether they are young Christians, new in their belief, or like our two youngest, not professing Christians at all, like they have a role to play and they get to enjoy seeing what the Spirit's doing. And we try to remind them of that. Like, so where we're staying right now is 800 square feet and there's eight of us. So we each get, you know, approximately 100 square feet. I was going to say 1,000, that'd be amazing. But actually 100 square feet of space. And so it's a sacrifice. And it meant we had to remind ourselves, for Kim and I and the kids, that we're not doing this move for material gain, for an increase in lifestyle. We're doing this for the sake of the mission of God, so that more people can hear about Jesus, meet Jesus, fall in love with Jesus, and be transformed by the power of the gospel. And so what we get a reduction in lifestyle actually also means we get to be in the forefront of what Jesus is doing. And there's nothing better than that when you get to realize that this crazy adventure of church planting is way better than anything, any material comfort that this world can offer. And there's times where that's hard to believe. And when all you're feeling in that moment is the loss of what you're giving up, and the comforts you enjoyed before are now not the same. Obviously, we have a roof over our head. It's not ours right now, but we're eating food. We have a roof over our head. It's a nice place that we get to stay right now. It's a nice place we're moving into. It's not as nice as the house we're leaving. It's not as nice as the comfort of a super close church family, but we have the Holy Spirit. We have Jesus. We have the Father who looks down on us and says, man, I love you guys. And even if you do everything wrong in this church plant, Father says, I love you. You're mine. And so in a sense, as as we disciple our kids and remind them of what we're doing, what we're being called to, there's a rest in that, and there's a joy in knowing that we're following him.
Mm. That's really good. Really good. I just met with a national church planning leader this morning, and he was telling me of all the marriages that go to crap with church planners and pastors and ministry. And so, you know, what you were just sharing is so important because, yeah, you guys are involving your kids, but you're also involving your wife. It's not the clay project. And it's also not the clay and Kim project, right? It really is Jesus's project that we get a little piece in, but so important that as we're planting, that we're planting together. And that will mean, don't even try and prescribe what that means for a couple. Mm-hmm. Like every couple is different. And I think that's one of the hard things about reading a book on like how to do ministry as a couple. It's like, oh man, you know, read it, but benefit from it, you know, the way you can, but just know that your life is going to be different than this. So don't, you know, yeah, sure. I'll say this to you, Clay, but I would just say it to anyone, like, don't lose your marriage for a church plan. Mm-hmm. Like, don't lose your bride for the bride of Jesus. You're already a part of that bride, and Jesus calls you to love your bride and the one that he's called you to steward and to submit to one another. And man, listen to her really well. I find that our wives often, if we let them, have a better read on what's going on in the church than we do, because we can be so optimistic about everything. Like, no, things are going great. Like, oh, metrics are amazing, blah, blah, blah. And then they're like, yeah, but everyone feels like you don't like them. Like, no, that's not true. You're you're not in the meetings. Like, everyone, I'm needed. I'm important. You know? So I just think it's brilliant the way that you are involving your whole family in this mission. Mm-hmm. So it's good.
Yeah.
All right. Last thing, because we want it to be shorter. I think that as church planners, we need to be focusing on people who don't yet know Jesus. So spend almost all your time, right? Like the sermons, we're not amazing preachers, right? We're really not. When the Spirit wants to emphasize something amazing about Jesus, he will through anyone. And some people are ridiculously gifted, and we're not necessarily going to be those people. So we don't need to spend tons of time on sermons. And I would say also, not to you, Clay, but to everyone, if you've been a pastor before and you have sermons that have landed well with people, maybe you could redo some sermon series as you're restarting or starting a new church. But I say organize your life around non-Christians and around leaders. Those are the two. And it's like, oh, what about the church? Like, yeah. Like if you're focusing on non-Christians, the church will keep growing with new Christians. And if you're focusing on training leaders, then those new Christians will be taken care of by those leaders. So what's your plan as you go in to help develop new leaders for this Edmonton plant?
Yeah, so one of the benefits that we are starting with is that we have myself and Jared, two pastors coming in together to do this. So we can actually develop leaders together. And even when we're interviewing people to be part of the core team, we're definitely looking for those who have leadership capacity, not necessarily that they're leaders already, but that we see that they could be trained into leaders. And so we have stuff that we've been training people with over the last few years where we're coming from. And so we can use all that material. It's all ready to go. And as soon as people land, we're just like, okay, let's fit them into this and let's use the curriculum we've developed to allow us to be strong off the get-go and increase that strength.
Okay, so you have something that a lot of people don't have, right? You're coming from a church that has been planting churches.
Yeah.
Speak to the person that, you know, coming, being sent out by a church that they're like, this is our first go at it. We're trying to figure it out. We don't have a curriculum. And yeah, they could email you and you could send them your thing, but that might not be the best thing for, you know, the place where they're at. So what do they do?
I think the biggest thing is to find people who have a desire to love people and look for that first. And then do what you can to encourage them in their giftings and to see where they're strong and where they're weak and pair people up together as much as you can. where the strengths and the weaknesses overlap, but then also you want to help reduce those weaknesses as much as possible and strengthen their strengths. So finding ways, books are great, podcasts are great. I would say don't feel the need to reinvent the wheel. Like, there's tons of different ways you can train leaders. We've got Movement Seminary. You can put people through. I've heard that's pretty decent. And
okay.
There's tons of online resources that can help you out. You don't have to feel like you have to do every single thing on your own from scratch. Like, use what's available and use the breadth and the depth of what people have been doing already and join in with them. Don't feel like it's like, oh, well, I heard about this church in Montreal, Church 21. It sounds like they do this amazing leadership development. So I'm going to develop my own so it can be just as good as theirs. It's like, well, why don't you just email Dwight and say, what do you guys do? Or if you want something from Western Canada, email Murray or myself from Grace Fellowship and say, hey, we heard you guys have a good training program. What do you guys do? And take what works, leave what doesn't work in your context, and use what's available to grow the people. And at the end of the day, too, sometimes it's just as easy as opening the Bible and saying, hey, let's study this together, see what God has for us. And you'll be actually amazed at the kind of leadership that develops as you encourage people to study the Bible and see, how do they study it? Do they study it as someone who's eager to learn about Jesus and then teach that to others? Or are these people that are very self-focused and they're not really in it to grow closer to Jesus? They're just kind of trying to get puffed up. And then you can kind of differentiate leaders that way too. But studying the Bible really can show someone's character and the trajectory that they're on.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I would say three things in terms of leadership development. The gospel, right? Helping them understand, the content of the gospel, but also how to minister the gospel to their own heart and share the gospel with other people. It goes into the second thing, community, how to lead other people in community, which honestly is not that difficult. It's just repetitive, like over and over and over and over and over, like reminding people about the importance of it. So training people how to foster good community. And the third, ties back to the gospel and sharing of it, the mission, and how, like, most people when they hear we're going to be a mission, it's like, oh, okay, like, we're going to do like a soup kitchen or something. I'm like, no, I mean, unless you make soup in your own kitchen, but we're probably not going to do a soup kitchen. Mission is normal, ordinary context. So how do we equip you for your job? How do we, like, what do you like doing? And they're like, oh, I like swimming. Okay, well, like, go swim with people. Yeah, but that's not mission. It's like, well, it is if you're bringing the goodness of who Jesus is there, and you're going to be intentional and you're going to build relationship there, and you're not just there for you, but you're there to be a servant. And it's like, most people have not thought about mission that way. We start mission with hospitality. Like, do you eat? Like, well, yeah, I eat. Can you eat with other people? I could. Okay, we'll start there. What if they say no? All right, ask them again in a few weeks. I don't know. Find out why they said no. It's like, mission is, in a sense, simple, but it's, you have to be persistent with it. And, training leaders in the gospel, community, mission, I think is absolutely, it's so necessary at all stages of the church. We never move on beyond that. But I think in the early days of a church plan, it's absolutely essential.
Yeah. Even looking at the fact that leaders need to be normal people.
Yeah.
And normal people can be leaders. And it's not like, okay, you got to find the super Christians. It's the people that are doing the everyday normal stuff of life with gospel intentionality already. And you encourage them on that path.
Yeah, that's so good. Jordan, what's your wisdom that you're going to add to end?
I don't have any. I just appreciated listening to the two of you guys go off. And I don't know, man. Clay, I'm so excited for you guys. And even just hearing you chat about those things, just being in prayer even now for the wonderful work that the Lord is doing in you and your family, and that we trust he's going to do in Edmonton. It's awesome. So I got nothing else to add, guys. That was great. That was worth it for me. So if nobody else gets anything out of this, at least it was great for me, which I appreciate. I hope that encourages you both, but I know that it's going to be great and helpful for other people too. So,
and that, you both. You're welcome. And that's really why we did it. We did it for you, Jordan.
Appreciate it.
So on that note, Jordan, it was for the glory of Jesus, for your benefit. And that's it.
Right on. Right on. Right. Can I pray for you? Can I pray for Clay real quick?
Oh,
Clay,
yeah.
Is that cool? Can we do that? Just end this podcast with prayer.
No, you can't pray for me.
Ah, there it is. I was waiting for it. I was waiting for it.
Yes, please.
Nine out of ten.
All on the yes. Key. There you go, buddy. I'm going to anyway. So, anyways, let me pray. Father, thanks for this time. Thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ that has saved us, that is transforming us. Thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in our lives all the time, and that we never grow up out of the gospel. Help us to remember that. Help us to see the beauty of it in every area of our lives. And Lord, I'm so grateful for Clay. I'm grateful for Dwight too, and I'm grateful for this time together. We're grateful for the calling that you've placed on his life and his family's life, and in the life of the other family going with him to go and plant a church in Edmonton. And we pray that you would be their strength, that you would be the fortress that they run to and are safe. We pray that you would be leading and guiding, that your wisdom would be moving and working in Clay's life and in his family's life. And as they get this all set up, as all the details are worked out, first, we thank you and praise you for the way that you have worked out all the details till now. And we surrender that to you and pray that you would glorify yourself in an incredible way as we see the gospel advance in the lives of people in Edmonton. Bring many people to be a part of that church plant for your glory, to hear the truth of the gospel, to respond in faith, and to have their lives transformed. And we pray that we would see many more churches planted from this church plant for your glory, for the sake of your kingdom. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, man. Till next time.
Today's episode of the Acts 29 Canada podcast is brought to you by Digital Endorsement, the go-to solution for small business owners looking to establish credibility for their business. Are you or someone in your church community running a small business? Struggling to create a website that truly represents who you are? Digital Endorsement is here to help. With expertly crafted websites starting at just $249 a month, they provide an affordable and effective way to reach a wider audience. But here's the best part. Digital Endorsement is more than just a web agency. They are dedicated to a greater cause. 100% of their profits go towards supporting church planting and church planters. By choosing Digital Endorsement, you're not only elevating your business, but you're also directly contributing to the mission of reaching Canada for Jesus. It's simple, affordable, and impactful. Check out digitalendorsement.com to find out how you can make a difference for your business and support church planters. Digital Endorsement. You're out there working hard. Let them handle the digital stuff.